Praise God. But it is good to be with you this evening, and I know different folks have gotten away and get some refreshing, and it's always nice when you get a little bit of a break. I know there's certain seasons here in the ministry, and this is like one of those seasons. You catch your breath and go at it again. Of course, the different things that are coming up in the month of May with the missions team coming and all of that preparation, and of course with Pastor Scott and Pastor Ron coming as well and their wives. So a lot of exciting things, but praise God you're here with us this evening, and we're just going to believe the Lord to speak to us. Just remember Pastor Gardner in prayer. I don't know if you'd heard or not, but he's been battling kidney stones today. Any of you guys have those things? Anybody want those things? You know, I'll let the Lord choose my way of suffering, but I'm hoping that's not one of them. You know, we've heard the descriptions and just the excruciating pain, and, you know, let's just believe the Lord with him right now, okay? Let's just pray for him. And Father, we just lift our brother before you right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we've already sung that song, You Are Able. And Lord, we believe that you are able to heal. And we believe that by your stripes, we are healed, Lord Jesus. Father, we pray for him right now. Lord, we ask that you would touch him. Father, we pray that either you dissolve those things, you remove them, Lord. Whatever it takes, Father, we just look to you for a miracle in our brother's body. Thank you for it, Father, and we give you the glory now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You believe God can raise the dead? I've seen the dead raised. And I think some of you have heard the testimony regarding my father. I've seen the dead raised. And a great miracle that we've been able to experience since we've been back this time. And to see that the Lord's worked in my dad's life after, you know, I'll just go back for 76 years. He's been hardened to the gospel. I was telling Pastor Ron just a moment ago, and in all of my years, I've never seen a man so hardened to the things of God, so hardened to the gospel. I mean, just hateful and bitter. And, at different times, some of you have met him. And of course, the amazing thing, some of you also met his father many years ago when my grandfather, his father would come here. He was a Assembly of God pastor in Dallas for over 50 years and loves the Lord, excited about Jesus. You know, Pastor Scott was always guaranteed one man would say amen when he was preaching when my grandfather was here. And so just an amazing thing. You have that, and then you have a son that just absolutely bitter to the things of God. I mean, I can remember one time where he was determined we weren't going to go to church, so he removed the spark plug wires from the vehicle. And so over the years, just a real bitterness and hatred towards God. And last year he had a massive stroke in July of last year, to the point where the doctors really weren't giving him much of a chance even to live. And I know different ones. I know I was praying, man, just praying for the mercy of God, and just that God would be merciful to him and preserve him, you know, because you don't want to see anyone go to a devil's hell. And thankfully, the Lord preserved his life. And when we came back this time, even the first time that I saw him, you know, he's in a wheelchair. He's got some mobility, but little. As you know, with stroke victims, many times their speech is greatly affected. His words are clear, but he just can't say much. And so, but I can remember even the first time we saw him weeks ago, and I just remember just making the comment to my dad. I just said, you know, Dad, I said, I'm so glad that the Lord kept you alive. And I saw this flash of emotion in his face, and his eyes got a little watery, and I'm thinking, what is that? You know, I'd never seen that before. And then the next week again, I think I made a similar comment, and I saw a similar response. And I remember, prayed for my mom. I'll tell you about my mom in just a minute, but prayed for my mom, and then I prayed for my, I asked my dad, I said, can I pray for you? And he said, yeah. And, so I think I told Pastor Scott, I laid my hands on him, but I put them here. I didn't put them here. You know, I didn't do that. And just began to pray for him, and that the Father would just touch him and make his love real to him, you know, and, just that he would know the love of God in his life. And I finished praying, and he looked up at me, and he said, that was a good prayer. And he said, thank you. And I'm walking away, and I'm just thinking, wow, what has happened to this man? And you got to understand, like any son, when you've only known 76 years of persecution and hatred, it's like, what, you know, and each step is a real step of faith, because in the past, you better put on a helmet, you better put on a bulletproof vest, because any mention of the gospel was going to bring extreme hostility. And so the next week I took it to another level. Praise God. And again, had some time with him, and we're sitting there, and again, his words are very few, but when he speaks, he's very clear. And I just said, Dad, I said, you know that I love you. And he said, yeah, I know. And I said, I have to ask you this question. I said, have you asked Jesus Christ into your life? And without any hesitation, and very clearly, he said, yes, I have. And I about fell over, man. I mean, it's just like, and again, if anybody who's ever known my father, he's made no pretension. You know, he didn't try to pretend to be something. It was very clear to anybody that got around him, he wasn't interested in Jesus Christ, the gospel. He didn't care who you were. Didn't matter, you know. And to hear that kind of response. And then last week we got over there again, and I remember I'm sitting there with my mom and my dad, and we're just reading out of Psalms 23. And when we got to the part, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And I just stopped right there, and I said, Dad, I said, isn't it great now? I said, you don't have to be afraid of dying. And I saw that flash of motion and have come across his face again, and his eyes began to water. And I said, just think about it now. I said, you're going to see your dad someday. And now the tears began to come. And then I said, and more importantly, I said, you're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the tears really began to flow at that point. And so you just stand in awe of what the Lord has done. And I think of what, you know, Corey experienced with her dad. I guess maybe it was last year. And then I can remember just a few months ago when I'd seen one of the emails, and Bruce was believing the Lord for his dad to get born again. And I just remember writing back, said, Bruce, I'll be standing with you and believing the Lord. And then, you know, that testimony came of his dad accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it just goes back to, I think of Abraham, who stood in the gap for Lot. You know, there's no question in my mind, the only reason why Lot survived Sodom was because his uncle was praying for him and believe in God for him, and he got delivered. And I think when you hear these testimonies, it just becomes an encouragement for all of us, because I'd been praying, been believing the Lord, but I mean, you just look at the hardness of this man, and you just knew it's going to have to be God. But you know what? God has a way of stripping away the things that we like to hide behind. And He has a way of bringing us to reality. That life is a vapor. You're not who you think you are. You are mortal. And I think the Lord encountered, my father encountered the Lord in that time. And so we just give God all the glory for it, man. And so just again, appreciate your prayers for him. You know, we're continuing to believe, many of us, for our children, and we'll just continue to believe for them as well in all of this. As far as my mom is concerned, of course, when we prayed for Pastor Gardner, I was just reminded this evening, he was my Sunday school teacher in 1970. I was two at the time. Not really. I think I was about 10 or 11 years of age at that particular time. And of course, for a lot of those early years, you know, you'd see a few men, and you'd see Edith Gardner, and you'd see my mom around. And then, of course, as time went on, of course, Pastor Scott came, and church began to grow. And she taught in DT for many, many years here, and worked with Jim LaRock quite a bit at that particular time. And so certainly had been very much a part of the ministry here. And then when we went to Richmond, she went down there with us to be able to help. But anybody who has had a parent or a relative that has Alzheimer's, you know how that goes. And of course, in the 1970s, you know, mom battled a lot of cancer, and they didn't know how to regulate stuff. And, you know, she had the radiation, she had the chemo. That's what I'm thinking it must have been in all of that. But, you know, over the last number of years, you can just see a diminishing. You know, the good news has been that whenever I called her from Africa, she'd always recognize my voice, which, you know, you're always wondering when you call, is she going to know me this time? And so every time, she's known me. But she's definitely lost a lot in some of those areas. And I think that's been the sad part. She can't fully be able to appreciate now what's happened with my dad. And all those years she'd been praying for him, but there's a day coming that all of that'll be different, you know, and so that's what we rejoice in, you know. And it was interesting, I got to talk to my dad again yesterday, and it was interesting, when I got on the things of God, I mean, immediately his eyes began to water, and I talked about the coming of the Lord and the rapture of the church, and I mean, he smiled, and you could just see, you know, you could see a joy in his eyes. And if there's no other way of knowing that God is real, I saw it yesterday. God is real, and he can raise the dead. Praise God. And so it just becomes an encouragement to all of us, you know. You know, I've been blessed just over these weeks. We've both been blessed as we've been here with you, and got to hear some of the miracles when we first got back, and it was pretty cool to have more time with Pastor Les a few weeks ago, and just to hear again a great miracle, man, of what the Lord did in preserving his life. And you know, as you begin to, you know, you hear the big story, but when you begin to hear all of the details and all of day by day believing God, trusting the Lord, you know, runaway infection and, a hole in his mouth that couldn't be repaired, and all of a sudden the hole is gone and the doctors are saying, what happened to the hole? And you're able to glorify the Lord and all of that. And then, being able to talk with German a little bit the other night, and again, just the testimony. And again, you look at, the other day we were driving down the road and I pointed out to Mildred, I said, that's a Ford Focus right there. I said, that's what he was in. And to look at a horrible accident and just to see the miracle of God in preserving his life. And you know what? We don't want to forget those things. Amen. I thought it was interesting today. I just saw the verse regarding communion and the Lord saying, this do in remembrance of me. And I thought it was interesting that the Lord knows human nature. And the Lord had to be able to say that because he knew that we would forget. And that's the reason why you see so many different places of putting us in remembrance and not forgetting these things. And, you know, again, I think it's just a reminder to all of us. And I was sharing with Pastor and I think Ron a few weeks back as we were out one day, walking 60 miles. At least it seemed that way. You know, you got a lot of scars. Amen? Most of you I've known for quite a while. Some of you I'm getting to know your children. But there's a lot of scars that you've endured over all of these years in following Jesus. A lot of things that you've gone through, man. And loss of family, loss of job, persecution, gossip, hatred, all of those things. And I think back to what Paul said, I think, to the Galatian church. Have you suffered so many things in vain? You know, and it's been sad over some of these years to see others who had gotten a lot of scars and gone through a lot for the cause of Christ and following Jesus and then give place to the enemy to be able to come in. And I think it's just a reminder to all of us, you know, it's taken 40 years to build this to where it is today. Amen? It's taken 40 years. And the sacrifice of Pastor Scott and the sacrifices of you to be able to bring this fellowship to where it is today. Have you suffered so many things in vain? And you come to a point now in your Christian life and you begin to question and, you know, discouragement begins to come in and, you know, the enemy's able to rob you and the joy diminishes and the peace of God and all of these things. And before you know it, you know what? You're out the door. And very sadly, there's some that were here last year. They're not here this year. And again, it becomes a sober reminder when he said, the love of many will grow cold. What's to keep you from being part of the many? Because that's where the majority is going. And again, as we've been able to hear over all of these weeks, man, you better take heed to yourself. You better get in the presence of God. You better lay aside all of these distractions and weights and sins because Satan knows no mercy. He knows no love. He is evil. He is wicked. All of those words, he defines those words by who he is. And he doesn't care how he takes you out. He doesn't care how he takes your family out. He doesn't care. He has one goal, and that is to destroy you, your marriage, your family. But the good news, he said, is if God be for us, who can be against us? But the tragedy is when we open the door, because that's the only way Satan will get to any of us, is we open the door. You know, for a thief to get in, you know, the door doesn't have to be wide open, does it? Just a crack. Just leave the door open, just a little crack. And he can get in just as easily from a crack or from the door being wide open. And that's where, again, we just want to be able to take heed to ourselves, that we give no place to the enemy, no place in our marriages, you know. Unforgiven sin, resentment, bitterness, all of those things that come in, and just like a cancer, they just eat away the relationship. And after a while, you just got two strangers living in the house. You know, you put on a good show for the kids, or you put on a good show for here, and you can talk and you can fellowship with everybody, and when you go home, you have nothing to say to one another. Because that fire left a long time ago, and the fire of His presence. If you're not right here, you're going to have problems here. Amen? That's just the way it is. Whenever there's a problem here, okay, then you know there's a problem there. If we're right there, then that's going to have an impact on our relationships and all of these things. I just want to take a few moments this evening just to share a little bit of what God's been speaking to me. Okay? Just things that He's been getting on my case about. And reminding me some of these things. And so I just thought we'd just take a few moments and I'll preach to me. And you can listen. How's that? All right? 1 Peter chapter 1. Not going to go very deep, but I think you guys are pretty good at connecting dots. And someone's thinking, what are dots? Never mind. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You know, you're not the only one that has a lot of trials. You're not the only one that has a lot of things that maybe aren't going right and just seems like you're surrounded on all sides. You can see here, and again, you can read of many people in the Word of God that encountered so many challenges and so many trials. And there are those seasons where you're burdened down. It's just like you're overwhelmed and you know, it's just a weariness that begins to come in and you find your joy leaving and you find the peace leaving and you just start coming out of obligation and there's a hardness that begins to settle into your spirit. And where it used to be very easy to rejoice in the things that God was doing, now it's just like, okay, when can I go do what I really want to do? Verse 7 says that the trial of your faith being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, it really jumped out at me not too long ago as I read this verse. He didn't say, your faith is more precious than gold that perishes. He says, the trying of your faith is more precious than gold that perishes. The trials, the temptations, things that aren't going right in our lives, the things that God allows to come into our lives to make us stronger. You know, I think we would all agree we want to grow stronger in the things of God. Amen? And the only way that happens is through trials and temptations. And yet how many times we face different things in our lives. And you know, sometimes you got the small trials. Sometimes you got the big ones. Sometimes you got the tragedies. How do we deal with it? How do we face those times? And we're all going to face them. I mean, it's every day. And how many times you face a trial, whether it's big or it's little, and the response can be something like, oh no, here we go again, you know. It's like, you know, you always, when you go to Walmart, that's where I've been a little bit lately, you know, why do I always choose the longest line? Why does it, you know, why do all the lights always turn red? And, you know, all those questions that begin to come in, why is this always happening to me? Why am I always going through these trials? God, why are you doing this to me? And you know, one thing that I found too many times is those questions many times are not questions. They're accusations. Because, and there's a place where you can go to the Lord and ask what's going on in your life and why is this happening? But there's a way that you can do it in faith, and then there's another way that you can do it as an accusation. You know, you don't love me. You don't care about me. Because if you love me, you wouldn't let this happen to me. And yet the fact is, as you begin to read the scriptures, you find out it is part of God's method to save us from ourselves. Can you imagine if everything goes right? How prideful and how independent. You know, the old song of Andre Crouch, I thank God for the mountains, I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. If I'd never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in His Word can do through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. And see, too many times we don't see, because what he's saying here is, those things that you don't like are precious. How many of you are valuing your trials? But didn't the psalmist say it was good for me to be afflicted? And see, too many times our problem is how we look at our trials and our temptations. You know, here we go again. Why do I have to go through this? Or a fearful type of attitude, and you want to run away. And yet, these are the very things that God uses to purge and purify. He talks about fire, persecution, affliction, tragedy, the loss of a job. And that's where James comes in and says, my brethren, count it all joy. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, he doesn't just say faith. He says the trying of your faith, it's working endurance. It's working strength. How do we get strength? We go through the fire. We go through trials. You go through things that you don't like. And the very things that we don't like are generally the very things that God is using to make you more like Him. So why are we complaining about the very things that God wants to use to make you more like Jesus? Because you were praying, Lord, I want to be more like You. And then we're complaining about it. And He says, the trying of your faith, it is more precious than gold. So maybe we need to start valuing our trials, beloved. And instead of despising them and looking for a shortcut, I have to laugh whenever I mention shortcuts, because when you live in Nairobi, you better know shortcuts. Huh, Ron? He knows from all the years he lived there, because it is what it is. If anybody who's been to Nairobi, you know what I'm talking about. I hope you're praying for me. Because that's my trial. And I'm not always valuing my trial either, just like you. But these are the very things that God wants to use to give us more of Himself. To strip away self. Because you know what these trials do? They reveal weakness. They show us we're not all that we think we are. And in that weakness, God's design is that in our weakness, we're pointed to Jesus. In our weakness, we begin to cry out to the Lord, God, help me. God, sustain me. You are my strength. You are my fortress. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get through this situation. I don't know how I'm going to face this thing, but my eyes are on you. And you trust God and you go through it. And you become stronger. And your faith grows. See, that's what we're talking about here. I want you to look over at Proverbs for just a moment. Proverbs 26. Well, I'll tell you what, look at Psalm 78 and then we'll go to Proverbs, okay? Psalm 78. You know, in the things of God, there's no shortcuts. Amen? You know, you might be able to find shortcuts, other ways to get to a destination in the natural. But there's no shortcuts in the things of God. I've always found when I try to do the shortcuts with God, He takes me right back to the beginning. And you get to start all over again. Because too many times we want the quick fix. I just want to get through this trial. And maybe God's not looking for you just to get through it. He's looking for you to grow in it. And instead of always trying to get to the end, maybe looking for what God is wanting to do right in the middle of that fire. I always thought it was interesting that the Hebrew children didn't try and get out of the fire. They stayed in the fire. That's not natural, is it? The natural response is you touch something hot, you get away from it. That's what you do. But God's kids stand right in the middle of the fire when He's right there with you. And He strengthens you. And He strengthens your faith. And He causes you to be able to grow and do things you would never be able to do in the natural. Because everything about real Christianity is supernatural. Amen? There's nothing natural about it. We're walking by faith in Jesus Christ. His strength, His ability, His life, His joy. Psalm 78. Just a sobering phrase right here. I'm sure you've looked at it. Verse 41. Yea, they turned back and tempted God. Look at that next phrase. And they limited the Holy One of Israel. Have you limited God in your life? Have you limited God being able to work in and through you? I know I have. And I think over the last couple of years, it's just been very sobering. And I think back to a few years ago when the Lord just showed me that I had touched His glory. And again, for any of us, many times our greatest downfall is not immorality or any of these types of things. Our greatest downfall is pride. And wanting to be seen and wanting to be heard and wanting to impress and want people to see how great you are in some way. And of course, it's one thing when it's your job. But how much worse is it when it's about your Christianity? And you want people to see how humble you are and to see all that you are doing for the Lord and how much you know. And that's what God was showing me. And I'm very much ashamed that as I look back over my Christian life, how much I've limited God. And how much more that the Lord could have been able to do in and through my life if I hadn't touched the glory. If I wasn't wanting people to see look what I did over here and look what I did over there and look at everything that I'm doing for the Lord. And it says they limited the Holy One of Israel. And I think for all of us as Christians, you know, that's a great danger, you know, just the pride of our hearts, the pride of spirituality. It comes even in marriages, you know. And the one spouse thinks they're more spiritual than the other spouse. And just by nature of that thought shows that you're not. But see, that's the subtlety of it. And that is the danger of spiritual pride. And, you know, we think we know more than somebody else, and the pride comes in, or you lead somebody to the Lord, and the first thought is, man, look at what I did. Look at what I did. And you get a little badge that you can put on, you know, your spiritual lapel. Look what I've done for the Lord. And there's no question, I know that's what Pastor's been hitting on for a while now. But it's a real danger for any of us, and it is so subtle, man. Just spiritual pride, and just how we look at one another, and how we can speak to each other, and you know, taking pride in doing right. It's good to do what's right, isn't it? I mean, amen. That's what we ought to be doing. Our desire should always be to do what is right. But see, that's the danger, is when you begin to take pride in doing what is right. The Pharisees did a lot right. They tithed, they fasted, they went to synagogue, and that's the danger. When you begin to take pride in that I'm doing everything right, and you can do everything right and you'll go to a devil's hell. Because it's not about your righteousness, it's about trusting in the blood of Jesus. And that self-righteousness is such a danger for any of us. And just looking to the Lord to save us from ourselves. I want you to look over now at Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. You know, Proverbs has a lot to say about fools. Amen? I mean, when you read Proverbs, this guy is a real mess. Okay? Solomon had a lot to say about fools. But I found something the other day in Proverbs that shows there's one thing worse than a fool. How about that? I thought fool was the bottom of the barrel. There's one thing worse than a fool. Proverbs 26. Verse 12. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? Other translations say, wise in his own eyes. Look at this next phrase. There is more hope of a fool than of him. One thing worse than a fool: a man who's wise in his own eyes. Thinks he knows. Thinks his opinion is always better. What a danger that we have to guard against. Taking pride in our humility. Two words that don't go together. But see, that's the danger. And here we are. We're trying to put forth something that isn't real. When you pretend to be something that you're not, to hide who you really are, you're a hypocrite. And the only way we can live a Christian life is by the life of Jesus Christ inside of us. Galatians 2:20, man. The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the only way we can live this life. By faith in Jesus Christ. A reliance, a trust that God is good. Amen? All the time. That belief that God is good and all he does is good. And that God loves me. Amen? There's no more powerful force than to know the love of God. That's what I was praying for my dad yesterday as I laid hands on him. God, just make your love even more real to my father. Let him know the love. And it was pretty cool. I was able to tell him. I said, Dad, I know you can't say many words, and you can tell by looking at his face. There's all types of stuff he wants to tell you right now, but he can't get it out. I said, the good news is, you know what? You may not be able to say much on the outside. I said, but you can shout on the inside. Praise God. You can shout to the Lord and you can praise God. You can worship him. To know the love of God and to know that God is in control. See, that's what happens to us too many times. We lose sight because of our circumstances that God's not in control. But he is. But see, that's where faith always takes you in the midst of the trial, that you believe God's in control. The storm could be raging, things are going crazy every place, but in your spirit, you know God's in control here. And I'm resting in him. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 5. Again, we could spend a lot of time on all of this. I'll tell you what, stop at James on the way. This is a quickie. I'm telling you what God's speaking to me, okay? James chapter 1. And these are just the highlights of what he's speaking to me. It would take all night for me to tell you all the bad things he's dealing with me about. James 1. Which speaks again towards the spiritual pride. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be slow to hear, quick to speak, and quick to anger. Isn't that how we normally are, though? Quick to speak. Quick to get angry. Wherefore, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. See, a lot of those things, again, have to do with pride. I know I can set these people straight, you know, and this and that. I think, you know, there's a lot of things that I admire about Pastor, but, and you know this, he's a good listener. Amen? He's a good listener. He listens. And I think too many times, I know for myself, you go off half-cocked. And you're quick to speak. And in all honesty, I'd say probably at least 95% or higher of all of my anger is not justified. It's not righteous indignation. It's frustration. You know, it's inconvenience. It's me. Amen? That's where a lot of our anger is. It has nothing to do with righteous indignation for the Lord. Too much of it. There's a place for it. But too much of it's just based in frustration and impatience and not valuing the person that's talking to you. You always have to be the one talking. And he said, be quick to hear. Listen carefully. And slow to speak. Don't think you know everything. Don't think you have to speak. And slow to wrath. And again, Proverbs has a lot to say about an angry man. Now, 1 Peter. Chapter 5. Verse 6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. I like the way it's written in the Greek language. It literally means allow yourselves to be humbled. That's really what it's speaking towards. You bow your knee. Allow God to bring you down, but there has to be a willingness on your part to allow God to humble you. And I think another word we've heard at different times here, to humiliate you. To bring you to a place where you're not going to defend yourself. You're not going to justify yourself. You're going to let God be God in the situation. And rest in that. That He loves you. That He's good. And that He's in control. And He says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He might lift you up in due time. See, He wants to take you down, and then He wants to lift you up in His strength. See, He's taking you down because you're living in your own strength. And that's where, again, we ought to be thanking God for some of these trials and some of these things that we're going through that's reducing us to a place of weakness. Isn't that what Paul said? I glory in my weaknesses that the power of Christ might rest upon me. And we're too busy trying to prove how strong we are. And He wants to bring us to a place of utter weakness, because when you're really weak, you become very effective in prayer. Amen? See, the only reason we're not effective in praying is because we're still doing too much in our own strength. But when you recognize how weak you really are and how awesome He really is, that'll make you a prayer warrior right there. Next verse. Verse 7. Casting all of your care upon Him because He cares for you. I think Pastor made reference on Sunday out of Luke 21. And of course that passage talks about the times of the coming of the Lord and the surfeiting and the drunkenness. And interesting in that passage, he specifically mentions the cares of this life that can bring any of us to a place where we're not ready when Jesus comes back. And I think the simplest definition for cares is anxious worries. And again, I'm preaching to me tonight. And this is an area that I always have to deal with in my own life. Of anxious worry. Worried about tomorrow. Worried about what people think about you. Worried about failure. Worried about, you name it, I can worry about it. That's who I am. That's my natural man. When my flesh comes out, that's part of who I am. And whenever I get out of the Spirit, that's something that comes back. But it's very clear that it's something that can prevent you from being ready when Jesus comes back. Anxiety. Worry. You know, I kind of liken it, maybe some of you men have done this, or maybe some of your wives have done it at some point. Where you leave the dome light on in the car. It's funny, you know, that's a little bitty light. But if you leave that light on long enough, there ain't gonna be any battery left. And all it is just a little bitty light. And it just has a way of just draining the juice. If you don't start the car up, and it'll just drain and drain, but it's just a little light. And after a while, the battery can be dead just because of that little light. And how much do we allow worry to be just like that? And it's just a drain. It's just a drain. Worried about all types of things. And when you come to prayer, you're worried. And when you leave prayer, you're worried. And it goes with you all day. I think we need to be reminded of what worry is. It's a sin. Okay? Worry is a sin. Because what are you doing? You're not trusting in the Lord. Isn't it interesting where it occurs? It happens right here. He's talking about humility, and then he says, and casting your cares on the Lord. A humble man, a humble woman is casting their worries and their cares. And look what it says there. All. So your little pet worry, it's got to go. There's no place for it. Casting the whole of your care upon the Lord. How much time do we spend worrying? And you can worry about tomorrow. Some of you came in here tonight. Even as you've been sitting here in this teaching, you've been worried about something. And it's bothering you and it's affecting you. And you know what that shows? A humble man casts his care on the Lord. So maybe we're not as humble as we think we are. Because we're hanging on to all these worries. Because see, if we believe that God is in control and the Lord loves me, then I'm free. I'm at rest. I'm not caught up. But see, what it comes down to is we really don't believe that God cares for us. And he knows where we are right now. And he said he would take care of us. You know, he said, don't be anxious for tomorrow. How many of us are anxious about tomorrow? And it's affecting us. And it's just like that dome light. It just begins to rob spiritual strength out of your life. And it seems like a very little thing. Except it's all the time. And you're worried about this, and you're worried about that, and you're worried about your job, and you're worried about money, and you're not trusting in the Lord. And what it indicates is our faith is very weak. Because strong faith believes God is in control, God will take care of me, and we can be at rest. And there's a lot of things to worry about in the natural, beloved. But Philippians says, be anxious for not one thing. Worry is a sin. And he said here, he said, casting all of your care upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. Your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. He knows where you're at. It's just a matter of just trusting that Father does know best. And he will take care of me. And I think as we get ready to finish for this evening, it's just a reminder of what we've been hearing continually. Get in the presence of God. And just remind yourself, when you're in the presence of God and these things are trying to come in, God is greater. God is greater than your job. God is greater than your children. God is greater than family members. God is greater than any giant or trial that you're facing. God is greater. And I'm finding in my own life just that need to get at rest, to pull these distractions down. How much are we robbing God? How much are we coming into His presence and yet our minds are going in so many different directions? Instead of just laying those things aside and being able to really be able to enjoy Him. And the reason why we can't enjoy Him is because we're worrying about these things. And we're being robbed. Like I said, isn't it sad if we come to prayer on a Tuesday or a Thursday night and you come in here and you walk back out and you're worrying just as much when you first came in here? What did you do? What did you do when you were here? It's pressing into His presence. It's not staying in the outer courts. Man, it is going into the Holy of Holies, and His invitation is anyone can come. But you gotta come. Okay? You gotta go and get into His presence and allow Father just to work in your life and to lay those things down so you can be able to enjoy Him who died for you and be able to enjoy Him who has given you His life and His love and His joy. We just need to be still before the Lord. And allow God to begin to minister to us. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So that's about maybe 5% of all the things that God's nailing me for in my life. Tonight's going to be our last night with you. We'll be heading back to clean air on Friday. Going back to Kenya and just looking forward to getting back with our family over on that side. But again, just to be able to tell you, we've had a great time over these weeks. We've enjoyed just being among the family of God and the different events that we've had. But again, just an appreciation whenever we come back here, just for what God has done and what God is doing. And a people that are willing to take up the cross, pay the price in following the Lord. And so we'll be heading back on Friday and just believe in the Lord. Just a few weeks, pastor will be coming over. And another week after that, the missions team will be coming over. And I don't have to tell you, but I'm just going to say it anyway. Please pray for us, man. Just pray for this next month that God is going to move. We have so many needs in the nation. We have so many needs among our pastors. And thank God that pastor's going to come and bring that ministry that is for such a time as this. Praise God. And so we love you guys. Again, we're very thankful for all of you and just the good things that Father's doing. And the best trip will be on Friday as we just head out of here. Amen. That's what our hope is. Even tonight, even now would be good. Praise God. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But again, we're just very thankful for what a treasure we have in this place. Amen. 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 Ron. And I'm very thankful for my big brother. Hallelujah. Don't we look alike? Hallelujah. I can't tell you how many people even today in Kenya still call me Ron. You see, we do look alike. We're white. Never mind.